Yes, it is. Good news. Happy Father's Day to all of our dads. We appreciate you so much. And man, being here this morning with your children, setting them an example. Man, again, that's just the greatest gift you can give your kids. You know, we want our kids to succeed in so many different areas, but you want your kids to succeed in knowing God. So thank you for being here. It's an honor and a blessing to have you here with us this morning. We have Bible classes for our kids all the way from newborns to sixth grade, seventh and older. You guys stay here. We have something for you tonight and Wednesday night. But at this point, let's dismiss our kids to their classes. We don't have a video for you today, so you can just mosey on out, as they say down south here. You're going to be talking about the holiness of God. I mean, what an important but a difficult concept to try to embrace. And so parents, enter into these discussions with your kids about God and His and His holiness. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 4 today, so get your Bibles, get your devices. For those of you that are joining us online, we're glad that you're with us today. But before I get to our text of the day, I want to ask for your help. During the summer, people are coming and going. I'm coming and going. And so it's a good time just to preach sermons that kind of stand alone rather than series. And so I'm reprising Parishioner's Picks. And you look all so excited about that. But this is an opportunity for you to choose a passage, a verse, a couple of verses, a chapter, not a whole book, not a topic, but just find yourself a verse or a few verses, and you've been wondering, why hasn't Todd ever preached on this verse? It's my favorite verse in the Bible. It's something we need to hear. I want to hear. It has some special significance or relevance to me, and I want to share that with other people. And so this is your opportunity to give me the scripture, and I'll preach the sermon. And so you can email me at todd@parkavenuechurch.com or on the app, there's a little PTP from Pew to Pulpit that you can click, and there's a little form that you can fill out, and that will come to me, and I'll preach your sermon. And so you have the power. Power is shifted over to the congregation. I always enjoy that. I enjoy hearing the stories of how certain scriptures really mean a lot to people, and then sharing that with the rest of the congregation. But as I said, we're going to continue today in 1 John chapter 4, excuse me, verses 7 through 21. So listen as I read this portion of this letter from the Apostle John, one of the closest friends of Jesus, a member of the inner circle, a man who found so much joy and hope and peace in his relationship with Jesus. He wants to invite us in to have that same experience, to have fellowship with him as he had fellowship with Jesus Christ. This is the Apostle John writing this. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and we rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. As we read through this, you may be saying to yourself, haven't we heard this before? Hasn't John already talked about that? And indeed he has. Just in the previous chapter, in 1 John chapter 3:11, he says basically the same thing. He says, this is the message that we've heard from the beginning. This is nothing new. He says we need to love one another. And he'll say those very words, love one another, three times in our text today. In verse 7, he says, love one another. In verse 11, he says, love one another. In verse 21, he says, love one another. In fact, in this section, in these 15 verses, John uses this word love, agape, that expression of love that reaches out to other people, that thinks about other people before themselves. He uses the word love in these 15 verses, not five times, not 10 times, running out of fingers here, not 15 times, not 20 times, not 25 times, 27 times in these 15 verses, John uses the word love. It's no surprise that John is known as the apostle of love. He must think this is important. And that's what we do. When we think something is important, we have the tendency to repeat it over and over again, don't we? Especially as fathers. All of us have our phrases that we repeat over and over and over again so that our kids understand it. We had a Facebook poll this week. Thank you for everyone who contributed to the Facebook poll. And I simply said, what is one thing that your father said over and over again? So here are some responses. A couple of people said, hey, let's have some common sense. Text me when you get there. Give people a firm handshake and look them in the eye. Act like you have some sense. Never let the sun set with an angry heart. Remember who you're working for. Hustle out there. Don't think you can fool me. What I ain't done, I stood off and watched done. I had to read that one a few times, but a man's word is as good as his handshake. Here's an interesting one. I've got motorcycle money, and I've got car money, but I don't have any beer money, jail money, or baby money. Sounds like good advice. Here's another good one. People die in bed. Well, okay. Work smarter, not harder. Don't borrow money from anyone if you can't afford to do without it. Turn your radio off when you're backing out the car. Never put all your eggs in the same basket. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. Get a good education. When you start a job, be sure to finish it. Roll with the punches. Remember who you are and whose you are. When that red light goes off in the back of your head, keep your mouth shut. Always take the high road. Don't ever disrespect your mama. Let's see. People just said how their father repeatedly told them that they loved them. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Pity the man who fails by never making a beginning. Think before you speak. You want to know what a person is really like? Watch how they treat animals, children, and elderly people. Walk a mile in another man's boots before you start judging them. Now, this is one that was really interesting to me. Our dad and granddad told my brother it was illegal to rope a steer in Texas, presumably so my brother wouldn't run the weight off yearlings trying to rope them. And then in parentheses, Todd, it's a Texas thing. Exactly right. I have no idea what they're talking about. In fact, I don't think I've ever said the word yearling before today in public. But I'm sure it's good Texas advice. Never loan money to a family member. Consider it a gift. Thanks until you're better paid. You don't always have to have the last word. And then this one kind of gives the person away. I remember that if Daddy started out a conversation with, now Patty Ann, I knew I had to listen. Don't borrow money or more money than you're able to pay back. And the list went on. But isn't it beautiful to get these words of advice from our fathers, those things that they say over and over and over again because they thought that that was important. The legendary coach John Wooden, basketball coach at UCLA, he said, the 8 laws of learning are explanation, demonstration, imitation, repetition, 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 repetition. And if he had a 9th rule, I bet you it would be repetition. Our John is a lot like UCLA's John. Love is so important. John repeats it over and over again because John recognizes that love is a defining trait of who God is. In fact, he says it outright twice in this passage, in verse 8 and in verse 16. He says, God is love. This defines him. This is who he is. And as we try to form a picture in our mind of who God is, then love has to be part of that picture. Now, these God is statements, we find them throughout the New Testament, and this isn't the only God is statement. We see passages like in 2 Thessalonians, God is just. Hebrews chapter 12, God is a consuming fire. In the Gospel of John chapter 4, God is spirit. John 6, God is bread from heaven. 1 Corinthians 1, God is faithful. Galatians 3, God is one. John had even said in 1 John 1:15 that God is light. But this concept, this identification of God as love, is what John senses that these people need to know in this particular season in their life. There are other lessons we need to know about God. He's complex. He's deep. But one lesson John believes that we have to hear and get right is that God is love. You see, John wants these people to experience the joy that he's experienced, to have the confidence before God that he has. And he wants these people to be obedient. And he knows that love is critical, to understand that God is love. And to be honest, I'm with John on this one. This is one lesson that we cannot miss. We cannot get this one wrong. God is love. These three words mean so much to us. First, these three words are the greatest source of joy and confidence. You see, God being love, and John explains, he says, God has initiated this relationship. He is pursuing you. He is after you. He's demonstrating this love. Look in verses 9 and 10. He says, this is how God showed his love. He has done something. He's manifested it. He's revealed it to you. He has acted on that love. He has showed his love among us by sending his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent. He was proactive. He sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Of course, echoing those great words of Jesus in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. In our text today in verse 14, 1 John 4:14, and we have seen, it's something that you can see, and we testify that the Father has sent his Son into the world to be Savior of the world. People, there should be no doubt about God's love. We should have no doubt whatsoever based on what God has done in Jesus Christ that he loves us. This should be a sure sign that God is love, that he's pursuing us. We all like to be pursued, don't we? We want to know that other people want to establish a relationship with us. When you're single and you're looking for a mate, looking for someone to date, I don't know if you were like this, but I was always looking for signs. Is that girl, is she sending off any signs that may indicate that she wants to have a relationship with me? If you're looking for a job, you're interviewing, you're listening, is the employer, is this company, are they sending off any vibes or any signs whatsoever that they really want me to be in this position? When you're in high school, those last years of high school, and you're looking at colleges, what a joy it is to get those letters from other colleges trying to recruit you. They are interested in me. And John is saying, Jesus, God is interested in you. He is giving off vibes. He's giving off signs. What more do you need to know that God is interested in pursuing you than God sending his only Son to die as the atoning sacrifice for you? And that gives us joy and confidence. In 1 John 4:17 and 18, I referred to this a couple of weeks ago. He said, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. God is after you. God is love. And so as we approach Him, He has taken that first step. And God is as delighted in this relationship as we are delighted in this relationship. We have a prayer garden down here, back behind the building. If you haven't ever been to the prayer garden, make your way down. There is just a peaceful, beautiful place where you can commune with God. But as you go back into the prayer garden, there's a plaque, a quote from Zephaniah, an Old Testament prophet, Zephaniah 3 and verse 17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. And listen to this, He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but He will rejoice over you with singing. This is how much God loves you. God is love. It brings us joy. It brings us confidence. If we don't get that right, we're missing out. These three words also, John is going to say, these are the greatest words of motivation to love other people. You see, John wants us to experience God and to know God, but he wants us to obey. He wants us to break free from that life of sin. And so his argument here is, if you really want to be a person who loves other people, if you really want to be a person who fulfills the greatest commandment, if you really want to be a person that obeys, it is critical, it is key for you to first understand that God loves you, that God is love. Now, there are different things that trigger obedience in our lives. You know, for some people, it's the fear of God, the fear of hell. I'm going to do what is right because I don't want to go to hell. And honestly, that's a motivation for me, isn't it for you? I mean, it motivates me to want to be good. There's also another trigger for obedience is the law. Here are some rules. If you keep these rules, then things will go well with you. And I like to keep the rules. And so that's a motivation for me to do what is right and to love other people. But it seems as if John is saying that the greatest motivation to be a person who loves other people is to understand the love of God. And when we are bathed in the love of God, then we will become loving people. Now, this is dangerous. It's sometimes dangerous to emphasize the love of God, but John is willing to take the risk, just like Jesus was willing to take the risk. Jesus went out and loved people and was criticized for it, for eating with sinners and tax collectors, but Jesus understood what these people needed to know is that there's a God above who truly loves them, who is pursuing them. And once they embrace that, then that is going to transform and change their life. And so if you really want to be obedient, if we really want to be obedient, John seems to be saying we must be bathed in the love of God, and then it will become natural for us to love other people. That will be the natural response. Look at verses 7. 11 and 19, and see the progression that John makes as he talks about this concept of the love of God motivating us to love people. In 1 John 4:7, he says, "Dear friends, let us love one another." And so he's encouraging them. He's saying, hey, this is something that we should do. We should love one another. Love comes from God, and he goes on. But then in verse 11, look how he goes from just encouraging them to love others to this concept. It seems logical that if you are loved by God, then you should love other people. He says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." All right? It should be something, an obligation that we feel to love others since we have been loved. So he goes from encouragement to obligation, but then look in verse 19. He says, "We love because He first loved us." He says, we just do it. We become loving people. It becomes who we are. It becomes almost like a reflex once we have been bathed in the love of God. I remember in biology classes, this is a long time ago, I hope I'm not wrong on this, but it seems as if there's a set of muscles or some systems in our body that are involuntary muscles. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there are some things that we do, our body does, that we don't even have to think about. Man, I'm breathing right now. I haven't thought about breathing. You've been breathing ever since you've been born. You don't think about this. Involuntary muscles, it's just something that you do. Your heart's been beating. You know, no one has to say, heart, beat. It just happens. There are certain systems. Our food digests. Had a great breakfast burrito earlier this morning. It's digesting. I didn't have to tell my body, hey, digest that breakfast burrito. You make sure it goes through. Things just happen. There are some involuntary muscles that take care of things. And John says, that's what happens when we live in the love of God. It almost becomes involuntary. It almost becomes a reflex. It becomes muscle memory. We've done it over and over and over again that ultimately we don't even have to think about it. So today, maybe you need to be encouraged. Maybe you just need to be prodded. Love one another. Do that. All right? Let us love one another. Be encouraged. Maybe you need to think, hey, I ought to love one another because God has loved me. I've been forgiven of my sins. I've been singing these songs. I took communion. I've been loved. I ought to love other people as well. Maybe that's where you are. But ultimately, we want to get to the point where we are so in tune and in touch with the love of God that it becomes just a reflex where we become loving people. We love because He first loved us. God is love. We can't get that wrong. If we want to be obedient, that is going to be, for John, and I'm with John on this one, the greatest motivation for us to love other people. God is love is also the clearest way that we can show the world who God is. In verse 12, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12, no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us. And His love is made complete in us. So John is saying, as we love other people, maybe unknowingly to them, they are getting a glimpse of God Himself. John remembers Jesus saying, they will know that you are my disciples as you love one another. If we want to reveal to the world who God is, the invisible, the unseen God, it is seen through us loving one another. But you know, that means that we need to be in community. We need to be loving one another. We need to be in each other's lives. So let me remind you of a ministry or a system that we have in place here, our discipleship-making communities that we have here at the Park Avenue Church of Christ, where we put people in community, where we can give them opportunities to love one another and to be loved by one another. I'm in a DMC. I'm in a discipleship-making community, and I know that I am loved by those people that I share that time with. And it gives me an opportunity for the love of God to flow through me by them knowing that they are loved by me and they can get a glimpse of the invisible God. But we have to be in community with one another. Love requires that we live in community. So let me encourage you to find a spiritual community where we love one another. All right, another great section in the Gospel of John. And again, as we've gone through this, you may have been thinking, you know, John has said this a million times. You know, in kids, isn't that what we say to our dads? They say the same thing over and over and over again. They say, Dad, you've told me that before. You've said it a million, million times. But think, why does your dad say those things over and over and over again? Because he realizes that those things are so important. And John says, this is something that you can't get wrong. God is love. And I'm going to say it over and over and over and over again. Because it has the power to transform your life. Those three words, God is love. And let me remind you today that no matter where you are, no matter what you have done, is that God has made a covenant when He created human beings to love us. A covenant is an agreement. It's a contract. And God has committed Himself to that covenant. I'm going to love you no matter what. You may run away from me. I'm going to still love you. I'm going to still pursue you. No matter what you've done, no matter how much you've rebelled against me, I'm going to love you. No matter how many times you fail, I'm still going to love you. No matter how great you think you are because you're so good, I'm still going to love you. God has made the promise. God has made the covenant that he loves you. And that, when we get that, when we understand that, when we grasp that God is love, then we can have this intimate relationship with God, just like John had this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't have to have this fear. When we have that love, we're going to find a motivation to love other people. It's just going to happen. It's just going to be natural. And then as we love other people, the people around us, we'll be able to see God living through us. So we're going to sing a song, Covenant of Love, and I want you to be reminded that God has not given up on you. If you think that is true, if you think that God has given up on you, if you think that you are unlovable, then put those lies aside. If you need help in that, then we're available for you. If you don't know the God of love, if you've never experienced this, as this is something that I've never heard this at a church, I've just heard God is wrath, that God requires, that God is after me. Man, you know, God does want us to be certain people, and he wants us to obey, but this, I'm with John here, that this is so important. And if you don't know that God of love, then we'd love to talk to you more about this God who loves you with an everlasting love. So really embrace as that concept as we sing this song. Let's stand together.